Jesus is alive, and because of that, those of us who have put our trust in Him will one day spend eternity in heaven. And that's what I want to preach to you about today. If you will turn with me in your Bible, in the New Testament, to Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. If you've not brought your Bible with you today, in the pew racks in front of you is the Bible. It's exactly like the one I preached to you from. You can turn to page number 1354, and you can find yourself at Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. I'm going to ask, as I always do, that you keep your Bible open on your lap or to your side, as my sermon and its points will be coming from this text. You'll get 40, 50, 60% more out of the message as you see it unfolding before your eyes from God's holy inspired word. Heaven. I don't know if you've heard this, but Forrest Gump has died. Yes, and he went to heaven. And an angel met him there and said, Forrest, before I can allow you into the portal that leads into heaven, I must ask you three questions. And Forrest said, well, I didn't know there was an entrance exam to go into heaven. And the angel said, well, for you, there are three questions that must be answered. First of all, you will have to ponder your answer to this question. How many days in the week begin with the letter T? That's the first question. Then the second question's a little bit harder. How many seconds are in a year? And then the third question is perhaps the hardest. What is God's first name? Forrest, I'm going to give you some time to think all this over. So Forrest went and he figured, and didn't take as long as the angel thought, because Forrest came back and says, I've got the answers to all three of your questions. The first question being, name 2 days of the week that begin with the letter T. Forrest said, it is today and tomorrow. Well, the angel said, okay, that wasn't exactly what I was looking for, but it is true. So you get that answer correct. Now, the angel said, do you know the answer to the second question? How many seconds are in a year? And Forrest immediately said, 12. And the angel said, why did you say 12? He said, oh, that's easy. January 2nd, February 2nd, March 2nd, 12 months of the year, 12 seconds. Then the last question. The angel said, this is probably the hardest question. What is God's first name? And Forrest said, oh, that was the easiest question of all. It's just like the song says, his name is Andy, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me that, well, you see how it goes. So I've got good news for you today. There is no entrance exam into heaven, because Jesus said in John chapter 11 and verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. And anyone who believes in me, though he dies, he will live now and forevermore in a place called heaven. We celebrate that fact on this Easter Sunday, the fact that one day we as believers will live forever in heaven. You know, the Bible says in Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. Now, just stop right there for a moment. This is speaking about the fact that when you become a Christian, you are crucified with Christ. We talked about that last Sunday in chapter 2, verse 20, when it says we are dead with Christ. And people wonder, well, how does that happen? Spiritually speaking, you do die with Christ. You nail all your hopes, all your dreams, all your plans, all your agendas, all your vanities on the cross of Calvary when you become a Christian. And you are immersed, that's what that word baptized means, you are immersed in Christ. And you know, we use that word immerse all the time. You'll say, well, he's immersed in sports. Boy, he's immersed in this new stadium that the Atlanta Braves are playing in. Or you might say that she is immersed in this book that she is reading. It means that you're totally enveloped by a subject. But for the believer, we are totally immersed in Christ. He gives our life purpose and meaning and direction. We witnessed at the beginning of the service today, Ella's baptism. It's so wonderful to hear her testimony about how she was riding in the car with her mother on a particular Tuesday not that long ago. And the radio was playing, and Ella asked her mother to turn the radio down. Her mother said that's quite an unusual thing. But she asked her to turn it down because she sensed that God was wanting her to accept him and to ask him into her heart. And there in her car with her mom, she asked Jesus to come into her life. And that's where she was baptized and immersed in him. It didn't happen up here in the baptistry. That's just a picture of what happened. Those aren't magical waters. Those aren't holy waters. They don't wash sins away. They don't give you a brand new start. It's what happens here in the heart. That doesn't make it so. It just shows that it's so. We'll go on to the rest of this verse on the next slide. That just as Christ was raised from the dead, even so we should walk in newness of life. You see, Jesus did not stay in the tomb. On that first Easter morning, he was raised from the dead, and that has ramifications for us who believe in him, that we should walk in newness of life. If you paid close attention this morning when I baptized Ella, as I was lowering her in the water, a picture of Jesus' burial and death, I said, buried in his likeness. But when I raised her up out of water, I quoted this verse, raised to walk in newness of life. Have you been raised to walk in newness of life? Oh, I'm not talking about being baptized, because a lot of people are trusting in their baptism, and all that's happened to them is they got wet. You need to be immersed spiritually to where you say yes to Jesus. I put my life in your hands, and I die with you. All my dreams, all my plans, all of that dies with you so that I can get a brand new life, so that I can have a brand new beginning, a brand new start. What a great day to have a new start in your life, new start in your home, new start at school, new start in your marriage, a new start in your career, new start in your job. Boy, God wants to give you that new start today. Well, that's why Paul writes over in Ephesians 2, verse 6, that Christ raised us up together. This is in the present tense, okay? So keep this in mind. Pretty amazing fact. Christ raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now get the picture here. We have a dual citizenship. There are some people in our country, maybe even here in the room, that are not only citizens of the United States, but they're citizens of another country. And that's what this verse is talking about. It says, when you got saved, you were raised up spiritually, and even though your physical citizenship is here in the United States of America, your spiritual citizenship is in heaven currently. And you've been raised to sit in heavenly places. And because of that dual citizenship, we can say, this world that I am living in is really not my home. I'm waiting for a new home, heaven. And because heaven is going to be my future home forever, it will affect four things, according to Paul, in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Number one, It will affect your affections, your passions, your desires, the things that you love. Read verse 1 with me. It says, if you then were raised, there's that resurrection word. If you were raised with Christ, then there's something you need to do. You need to seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. So many believers get hung up in this particular assignment because our focus is so much on the things around us in this world that we get totally distracted about the wonderful realities of heaven. And that word seek is a very important word. It means to, with your hearts, crave and desire the things of God. Jesus used it again in Matthew chapter 13. It says, it's like a merchant who seeks a fine pearl. A merchant looking for a fine pearl doesn't just do it haphazardly with no passion in his or her heart. He seeks with a craving and a desire and a passion for that pearl. Another place that word seek is used is in Matthew 6, verse 33, when it says that we should seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto us. That won't happen unless we, with all our heart, with all our being, crave the things of heaven. It's also used in the Easter story. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 5, there we read where the women had come to the tomb where Jesus had been buried. And they found an angel there, and the angel said, do not be troubled. I know that you seek, there's that word, you seek Jesus who was crucified. Yeah, that's what was in those women's hearts. Those women's hearts, they were so moved by the fact that Jesus died for them that they wanted to come and to see his body once more. They craved and desired to be in the presence of his earthly temple again, but he wasn't there because he had been resurrected. Let me ask you, believer, do you have that kind of affection in your heart for the things in heaven? You're already seated in heavenly places. Yeah, your citizenship is here. But sometimes you can get so distracted by the things that you deal with on a daily basis that you don't do what Paul says we should do if we have been raised together, and that is to put our affections on the things that await us in an eternity that is beyond imagination. But this idea that heaven is my future home also affects my attention. Look there in verse 2. It says, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Our attention as believers should be focused on Christ in heaven, not on our problems at school, young people, not on the test that you'll be taking this next week, not on the homework that's due, not on the book that you have not read, not on the assignment that you have not done. You should do those things, but you should not focus on your problems at work, in your career, in your home. You need to focus on Christ and him in heaven. And he becomes your central focal point of attention. Everything else will fall into order. It will make sense for you. You know, if you look in our bulletin today, you'll see a place where we're expressing sympathy for four families who have had deaths amongst their loved ones in recent days. Four families from the deaths of their loved ones were from two different generations. Two from the GI generation, one being 91 years old, the other being 99 years old. Two from my generation, the baby boomer generation, one being 57 years old, one being 61 years old. You know, death is no respecter of persons or of ages. We have no promise of tomorrow. But I can tell you for sure, some of those families are here with us today. And now that their loved one who knew the Lord has gone to be with Jesus in heaven, their thoughts about heaven are totally different. Heaven seems much nearer to them today. Heaven seems much sweeter to them today because they have a loved one there. And make no mistake, when that loved one, because of their faith in Christ, drew their last breath in that moment, they were in the presence of God in heaven. That's what the Bible teaches. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And we don't grieve for them because they're more alive than any one of us right now sitting in this room. But we grieve for ourselves because there's this aching and this longing in our heart to be with them again. And that's why your attention is so drawn to heaven. As Paul states it here, Jesus would say it another way. He said, "Lay not up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust decay and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. For where your treasure is, there's where your heart will be also." If your treasure is here on this earth, then your heart will be firmly glued to this earth. But if your treasure is invested in heaven right now, your heart will be there too. Your attention will be there. Jesus also said, "Anyone who would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For who would save his life will lose it. But he who loses his life for my sake and the gospel's sake will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul?" Oh, friend, don't be distracted by the things of this earth. Put your focus and attention on heaven, where real treasure awaits you. But quickly, let's go to the third verse, and let's see that the reality of heaven that awaits us not only affects our affections and our attention, but number three, it affects our assurance. Reading there in verse 3, "For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." That's what happened to you when you died. Christ provided you a nice, cozy hiding place in the palm of his hand. No one can hurt you. John 10, 28 and 29 says that for the believer, he holds us in the palm of his hand. And no one, not even the devil himself, can pry Jesus' hand open and take you from it. You are safe and secure. That is a feeling of assurance and peace. Did you have a hiding place when you were a child? I used to hide underneath my bed. I was much thinner back in those days. But I used to hide underneath my bed, especially at nighttime, when I'd hear my mother screaming, and I would hear my father in a drunken state abusing her physically. There was a time in my life as a child I spent more nights underneath my bed than I did on top of my bed. And as strange as it sounds, when I was underneath my bed, I felt like nothing could hurt me there. No one could hurt me there. I felt totally assured and secure. As I got a little bit older and during the day when my mother would cry in terror and my father would physically abuse her, I would go out in the backyard where there was a huge 40-foot mulberry tree. And I would climb up in that mulberry tree as high as I could. And I would look out over our rooftop and then our neighbor's rooftop and then rooftop after rooftop in neighborhoods all around us. And I'd see other trees and I'd see birds flying from the tree I was in into other trees. And it was just such a freedom to be above all the terror, to be above all the pain. And I just wish that God would pick me up on his angel wings and take me somewhere else. It was such a feeling of security and assurance. Do you have a hiding place? There was a woman named Corrie ten Boom whose family were watchmakers in Holland during World War II. And in Holland, there was a significant number of Jews, and the Nazis were coming and arresting the Jews. But Corrie ten Boom's family had several places in their large home where they could hide Jews. And so they hid Jews until the day they were discovered. And they, along with the people they hid, were taken to a German concentration camp. Corrie ten Boom was placed in an isolation cell because she was classified as a troublemaker, a ringleader of troublemakers. And one day, in her pain and in her desperation, she noticed a little black ant crawling on her cell floor. He picked up a crumb that she had dropped on the ground, and he struggled to get it through the crack in his hiding place. And he got it through there. And he would reappear from time to time, but always disappear into his hiding place, in this place of terror for Corrie ten Boom. And it was there in that moment that Corrie understood that Jesus could be her hiding place if she would die with him and be raised to walk in newness of life. Do you have some bad things going on in your life? Do you need a hiding place? Jesus can be your hiding place today. The final thing we'll see today is in verse 4, where it talks about your appearing. And that word is used there a couple of times in verse 4. It says, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. That is talking about an event that is yet future to us. When Jesus died, he was buried, and then he stayed on this earth for 40 days, and then he ascended into heaven. And to most of the world, it seems like he is hidden from view. We live our lives as if he did not exist. But he is there. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that he's making intercession for you right now. He's praying for you right now. He is real. He is alive. And according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 17, there is coming a day yet future to us when Jesus will appear in the clouds, in the eastern clouds, and he will bring with him those four people whose names are listed there in the bulletin, and all the other ones who put their faith in him throughout the ages of time. They will appear with him. And those who have at that time put their faith in Christ will then appear with him in the clouds. Oh, and when Jesus comes again, it won't be as a little bitty baby. It won't be as a helpless child. It won't be as a suffering Savior bleeding on the cross of Calvary. But he'll come back as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the victor over sin, death, and the grave, and us with him. You will be more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. And so the question for the hour on this Easter Sunday is, will you appear with him because you've put your faith in Christ? If you have not trusted him as your Lord and Savior, it's such a simple thing to do. Just recognize the fact that you're a sinner. I'm a sinner. And that you need someone to wash your sins away. And the only person that qualifies for that is a man who lived a perfect life. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this moment, on this Easter Sunday, you could do like the precious little girl who sat in her mother's car and prayed and received Christ on a Tuesday, you could ask him into your heart and he could live there forever. Won't you do that right now as we bow our heads and close our eyes? Father, we thank you so much for Jesus. We thank you that he's alive. Father, we pray right now that if there is anyone here that needs a Savior, that they will trust you as their deliverer, that they will say yes to you by faith. Father, I pray for others who are here today that need to make decisions, maybe to join the life of this church, or maybe just to come forward for prayer so they could have a new start in their home, their marriage, their school, their job, their career. Father, I pray that you will win the victory in everyone's life today. As we put our focus not on the person sitting next to us, but we put our focus on heaven and eternity. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name.